Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. So do you find that you struggle sometimes communicating well with people of a different generation? That's what we're going to focus on today, specifically bridging generations at work and how emotional intelligence can help us lead generations that are different than us. A lot of times we think about that as older generations leading the younger generations. It could be the other way around. So I want to keep this focused on how do we build bridges at work. We've spent the last three episodes in a deep dive on the Gallup State of the Global Workplace Survey for 2025. There's a lot of data in there. There's a lot of numbers. A lot of those numbers are shocking. They're alarming. 31% of employees are engaged. Only 27% of manager leaders are engaged in the workplace, which is pretty scary if you think about it. But what's underneath the numbers? How do we fix this? And that's what I want to get into today is how do we actually make a difference here? So here's where we're going to start. We're going to start by figuring out what the difference is in different generations when it comes to what they want in the workplace. Because once we understand that, we can start to figure out how do we address that. You walk into any workplace today and you're likely to find employees from five different generations working side by side, from the baby boomers to Gen Zs, and even Gen Alpha interns in some environments. Organizations are navigating one of the most generationally diverse workforces in modern history. I want to share a story with you, as I like to do. This one is funny because I've recently had the pleasure to coach several Gen Z individuals as they're launching their careers. Maybe they're getting into their second or third role as they climb the ladder. The funny thing about this is their leaders actually needed more coaching than they did. Gen Z and other generations have a good idea of what they want in the workplace, and money is not at the top of that list. The younger generations are highly capable for the most part. Now, I'm a boomer, so when I say the younger generations, obviously anybody in those younger generations than me is a boomer. So that gives you a sense of where I'm coming from. But my work over the last four decades has really enlightened me as to the human dynamic and the fact we're all still people. We haven't evolved that much in many generations. Our brains haven't changed that much. Technology has, but the way we approach being a human being hasn't changed that much. Sure, values change, what we want out of the workplace changes, and that's the focus of what we're looking at today because that's going to determine how we can better create those bridges at work that we need to draw on the strengths of all generations. Here's what I've found. The younger generations are highly capable for the most part. How do I know that? Well, 40 years of experience using psychometric assessments to gain insight, understanding to the best way to transform potential into performance. The majority of the people I have assessed and provided feedback to in Gen Z, millennials, these younger generations, than the boomers, they show up pretty strongly. What has shifted is what they value. And that makes a world of difference. So I take a very specific and proven approach it's been in works for decades, beyond my four decades, and it's pretty simple. We assess, and then we equip people, and then we align those with goals and objectives, and then we reach success, we achieve. It doesn't matter whether this is at work or in personal life, this same process works everywhere. But if you don't start with assessing, if you don't do the due diligence of understanding the unique makeup of someone, then you're just fumbling around trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work, why aren't they listening, why don't they like my communication style. All of those things can be answered so simply with a small package of assessments. Why is that important? Because it gives me the insight to know that there is a huge amount of unrealized potential out there in the workplace, but we have got to approach it and unlock it in different ways. And that's a big part of what we're going to talk about today. So let's focus in now on when I talk to leaders and owners of organizations, I stress that the potential is there. It just demands a new set of skills to fully realize that potential. Nothing's broken. We just need to be agile and to have a growth mindset as leaders. Why is that important? Number one, because that cascades down into our teams and throughout our entire organization. But number two, that's what younger generations want. They want to learn, they want to grow, they want to upskill themselves. They want to develop a strong resume, not necessarily to leave the organization, but as their legacy, as what they want to accomplish in life. So if we take that into account, let's focus for just a minute on Gen Z. This generation, roughly born between 1997 and 2012, is quickly becoming a dominant force in the workplace. By 2030, they're expected to represent nearly one-third of the global workforce. That shift is already well underway, and many leaders find themselves unprepared for that. In fact, recent data from Cake.com reveals that 75% of manager leaders report struggling to meet Gen Z's expectations. From their desires for rapid career advancement and meaningful work, to their preference for casual communication and concern for emotional well-being, Gen Z is clearly challenging conventional leadership models. And that's not a bad thing. We've got to grow. We've got to be adaptable, agile, resilient as leaders and as organizations, or we will never gain a competitive advantage. But here's the deal. The challenge is not the generation. The challenge is our response to it. Okay, so let's dive deeper into what I call the timeless power of emotional intelligence. Now, I'm just going to say this. If the word emotion triggers you, then you're having an emotional response. I get a lot of owners and leaders, especially in the boomer generation, who really struggle with this concept of emotional intelligence and why should we invest in that? Why should we spend much time there? Let me put it in different terminology. If you could create a set of skills that would guarantee you 2 to 4 times the productivity of other skill sets, would that be worth an investment? Studies show over and over that's exactly what emotional intelligence does. Even over IQ. It is 2 to 4 times more predictive of success than IQ. So these are not soft skills. Oh, that'd be nice to have, but we don't really need them. Anybody who doesn't understand the need for these skills is going to get left behind. That's as simple as I can put it. If there's one constant across every generational shift that I've witnessed in over four decades of leadership and organizational work, it's this. Emotional intelligence never goes out of style. It's human skills. It's the ability to interact. All soft skills have their foundation in emotional intelligence. So there are so many reasons why this is important. Obviously, I'm coming from a place of studying neuroscience, studying emotional intelligence for decades, and most people have not done that. I can tell you there is a huge difference in people who have high emotional intelligence and their level of achievement and success is far greater than those who do not have that. It's that simple. So let's focus in here on how do we take that timeless skill set of emotional intelligence? What does that look like in a rapidly changing world where platforms, technologies, cultural trends, those are changing rapidly? How do we then leverage emotional intelligence to build the bridges that we've been talking about? At its core, emotional intelligence is about understanding yourself, managing your emotions, staying motivated by purpose, showing empathy for others, and building strong, healthy relationships. These skills are the universal currency of human connection. They transcend age and background. They allow leaders to listen without judgment, respond with clarity, adapt to different communication styles, and build genuine trust across generational divides. Being authentic here is a big deal with all generations. We may perceive it a bit differently. Being authentic, being genuine, building connection and trust may look a little bit different for boomers than it does for Gen Z, but at the core of it, most of it is the same. Self-awareness helps a leader recognize their own assumptions or biases about younger or older colleagues. Self-regulation ensures that communication remains respectful and grounded even when tensions rise. Motivation, aligned with purpose, resonates deeply with Gen Z, who are seeking work that means more than just a paycheck. And by the way, that motivation we're talking about here is intrinsic motivation. It comes out of our deepest held beliefs and values. Empathy opens a door to understanding perspectives that may be very different from our own. And social skills are the glue that keeps everything aligned and helps us to collaborate, to innovate, and to be productive. So how then, specifically, do we lead Gen Z with emotional intelligence? Maybe you are Gen Z. This is for you too. If you're a leader of your peers, this is just as much for you as it is for anybody else. Gen Z is not just another young generation. They've grown up in a world shaped by uncertainty, by digital overload, and by rapid change. They are digital natives who've been exposed to information, culture, and social causes on a global scale since their childhood. As a result, they bring new expectations to the workplace. Okay, how about a funny little side story that I didn't plan on here? I remember when the first Commodore 64 came out. Now, most people that are listening to this will not have any idea what that is. It's the first personal computer, or one of the first personal computers. And it had 64K of total memory. That was awesome. Of course, everything was text-based and all of that. But I look at the way that technology has evolved over the years, and now we're using AI and we're talking about quantum computing. This newer part in the last 10 to 15 years is what our Gen Zs have grown up with. They've grown up with this huge evolution in technology. And we as boomers and even millennials need to understand that we're coming from different places, but we probably have very similar desires and goals. They value mental health and well-being. They crave authenticity and transparent communication. They expect frequent feedback, not just an annual review. And I can't tell you how important that is. When I work with leadership and with organizations, I will promote a forward-looking coaching process as their performance management system, not a backward-looking annual evaluation type of process. That's a whole nother episode that I'll do somewhere in the future and talk about why that's so important. But if you're going to engage with younger generations, whether it's millennials, Gen X, Gen Z, whoever, it's got to be forward-looking. It's got to be frequent feedback, constructive feedback. When a Gen Z employee asks for more feedback or questions why something is done in a certain way, it's not insubordination. It's curiosity and a desire to contribute. One of the most important skills I try for people to develop in themselves and help them develop that in themselves is curiosity, especially in salespeople. Curiosity will get you so much further than so many other things. So as a leader, if somebody's questioning you, maybe don't just react because you're too busy or tired or angry or frustrated. Maybe you give them some space and you allow them to express what they're trying to say, because maybe that leads to a breakthrough. I've seen that happen over and over again. When they value mental health or call for inclusivity, they're asking for humanity in the workplace. The most successful leaders, and that's what we all want to be, are those who can see these requests not as challenges, but as opportunities to build better, more human-centered organizations. That sounds like a good place to work. I'd like to work in a place like that. I like to close out these episodes with a very practical way to approach deriving some solutions, some things we can put in place here. We want to build a culture that connects across all generations. And organizations that succeed in this new landscape, they're going to be intentional about building a culture that values all generations and what those generations value. They don't tolerate stereotypes or generational silos. They use tools like psychometric assessments to better understand each team member's communication style, preferred work style, their motivational drivers, their habits, no matter what their age is. They recognize that different generations may bring different perspectives, but that all people want to be seen, to be heard, and to be valued. And by the way, that is what I call real diversity. When you're allowing varying perspectives to come together, that is using diverse perspectives and strengths to get the best possible outcomes. These organizations will also embrace coaching over command. Leaders ask more questions and they offer more time to listen. They adopt a mindset of curiosity and openness, and of course, psychological safety. They make feedback a regular and constructive part of everyday conversations. They connect work to mission and purpose. So if you find yourself saying to a Gen Z or a Gen X or a millennial, just do it because I said so. Honestly, how well did that work with your kids, if you have kids or grandkids for that matter? In my experience, it just doesn't work all that well. But if we can engage with them and partner with them, even as a leader, to joint venture this thing together, we're going to get far better results. Emotional intelligence becomes the compass that guides how people interact, how conflict is managed, how communication flows, and how decisions are made. It becomes the connective tissue between generations that might otherwise struggle to relate to each other. And we need that so desperately right now in the workplace. We need lots more connective tissue, not scar tissue. Scar tissue is dead. It's tissue that has no purpose. We want connective, living tissue in our organizations. So what is the leadership mandate of our time? That kind of sounds a bit pompous, doesn't it? The challenge of leading multi-generational workforces is not going to go away. If anything, it will intensify as demographic shifts continue, technology accelerates, and expectations evolve. But there is a clear path forward here. Emotional intelligence is the foundation of all soft skills, which are human skills. It's the way we interact with others. It's everything related to human dynamics. It is a core leadership capability. It's the skill that sets us apart as leaders, not just managers. Managers manage tasks and deadlines. Leaders lead people to accomplish things. That's what we need in the workplace today. It's never been more urgent than right now, especially with the engagement numbers we're seeing in the Gallup survey. We've got to develop these skills. Engagement is the emotional commitment that somebody has to the effort, to the team, to the work. We've got to get those numbers up. So how do we do that? First, ask yourself this question. Am I truly equipped to lead across generations? Do I understand the people I lead? Do I really truly understand them? Am I developing the skills that will help me adapt, empathize, and connect? I can help you answer every one of those questions through psychometric assessments. And I use multidimensional assessments, meaning very different kinds, because we want to look at the whole person. You don't just want to take a personality assessment and say, oh, I know everything about that person now. No. As a matter of fact, did you know personality assessments are not primary predictors of success? Secondary at best. So we really have to focus in on first understanding who these people are. Now, once we know that, once we have that good data-driven approach, we can build cross-generational futures. If you're a leader, manager, business owner, HR professional, whatever you happen to be, this is your invitation to invest in the emotional intelligence skills that will define the next area of leadership. And I'm going to be really bold and say this. There are going to be very few successful leaders in the future who do not have high emotional intelligence and well-developed emotional intelligence skills. I truly believe that. Things are changing so fast that without those, you don't have the agility, the adaptability, you don't have the resilience, you don't have the ability to connect across multiple generations. There are so many things that come from developing this one skill set. Don't miss out on this opportunity. We help people do this all day long, and we see the benefits. I don't know that I get any more enjoyment out of anything than watching somebody grow and develop and bring the very best out of themselves. That is truly my commitment, is to equip people to prosper. And I'm talking prosper at a high level and achieve the goals, achieve the desires, achieve the dreams that they want. So let's stop managing generations and start building bridges between them. Because in the end, it's not about who's younger or older. It's about who's equipped to lead with insight, with empathy, and with purpose. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at EQFit.